I want to spend a little more time and expand on it, if that's all right, because this has got to be understood. If you ask people in the city, and they say, what church you go to, and you say, Spirit of Faith, they don't know what that term means. Many of them don't know what that term means, but it comes right out of the Bible. So let's understand what that term means. Would that be okay? We're going to take each of these lines on this statement and spend some more time on it. We did that in the video. But first of all, let's look at what this means when we talk about people bringing people into encounters with God. I briefly mentioned it on the video, but it basically means to meet or come upon, or it means to run smack into. Anybody ever had an encounter where you ran smack into somebody? Every part of our life, and any kind of, bondage in your life needs to have an encounter with God. Every part of your being needs to have an encounter with God. Amen. And so, really the Spirit of Faith is what arranges these encounters. The Spirit of Faith is what sets you up to meet the power of God. And we'll talk about what the Spirit of Faith is in more detail than even the video here. But I just want to talk about these encounters, first of all. It means that by believing and speaking the Word of God, we run smack into the power of God that makes us victorious. Yeah. Or we demonstrate the power of God to others. Yeah. This isn't all about us. Actually, the message of the Spirit of Faith is not just a message, it is a movement. I wish I had somebody excited about it. I said, it's not just a message, it is a movement. It's something that it's something that is imparted. Amen, not just a message. And it gets a hold of people through the message. It gets a hold of people and they start operating in the power of God. This is what will bring Jesus back. It's not couch sitters. It's not people that just go to church and hear about faith. It's people that get an attitude and start moving things out of their life, moving things into their life, and moving in the power of God that shows that God's real to this generation. David's mighty men became men. They went to David, depressed, discouraged, and in debt. But David imparted to them what he had on him, and they became God's mighty men. The Bible calls them David's mighty men, and they did exploits. And guess what? By those exploits, the plan of God for their generation came to pass. What was the plan of God for their generation? That they possess that land and raise up that nation. What about our generation? Pastor Debbie and I are assigned to raise up an army of mighty men in this generation who know their God, are strong, and through the Spirit of Faith live victoriously, first of all, and then do exploits in this generation. What is the result? The plan and purposes of God for this generation, this last grace harvest of souls of the earth, comes to pass in this generation, which brings Jesus back. And I want to hear him come back and say, I found faith on the earth. Yeah. The harvest, somebody moved in the power of God and the harvest was reaped. I went ahead and got excited. You need to get excited with me. Hallelujah. But the Spirit of Faith arranges these kind of encounters that this statement talks about. The Spirit of Faith arranges it by believing and speaking, as 2 Corinthians 4:13 says. By taking God's word, we don't wait on the sovereignty of God. I want that message out more than I almost want my next breath. You don't have to wait on the sovereignty of God. You can initiate the supernatural by a Spirit of Faith.
Amen.
A spirit of passivity sits back and waits on God. The Spirit of Faith gets up and says, this is the way it's going to be, and starts moving toward it, acting and speaking God's word. Amen. And so we don't wait on the sovereignty of God. We arrange that it happens. Hallelujah. The fact that it happens is not a fluke. It happens because somebody stepped out and spoke God's word and started moving in a spirit of faith. And the power of God met that and made us victorious. Hallelujah. Now, when we talk about having encounters with God, we're talking about having an experience that you expected, but in a manner that you did not. Listen to me very carefully. The word encounter suggests an element of surprise. Like if you happen upon somebody you haven't seen for 20 years in the grocery store. People call that an encounter. And we're talking about the power of God, but I'm using a natural illustration. And it was a surprise. Now, listen very carefully. So the element, the word encounter has an element of surprise in it. Are you listening? It suggests an element of surprise. The surprise is not that the encounter occurred. Listen very carefully. It's the how God does it. Amen. Walking out your faith is always an adventure. We come upon the miraculous in the most glorious and delightful ways that make us victorious. It's not a surprise that we come upon the miraculous. In fact, when it happens, we say, there it is. We knew it was there. But the way it happened is always an adventure. And it's always exciting. And sometimes completely a surprise. Not that it happened, but the way God did it. Number of years ago, Miss Leanne, you came up for healing for your uterus because it was out of place. That afternoon, we agreed and believed God together. That afternoon, she went home and took a nap. Sunday afternoon, I mean, that's a godly thing to do, take a nap. Eat lunch and take a nap. She went home and took a nap. And in her nap, an angel came and put his finger down there and pushed it back up in place. She went back to her doctor and they confirmed everything's back in place. That had been out of place since the birth of their boys. Now, the fact that it happened was not a surprise to us. The way it happened, whoa! That's called an encounter. And that's what we're called to bring this generation into. Encounters with God. So just because you are a person of faith that makes encounters with God sure, doesn't mean you know how it's going to happen. It's always an adventure. The way God moves has an element of surprise to it sometimes. But the fact that he moved is not a surprise to people who have a spirit of faith. In fact, they arranged the encounter. They were not in the department of how it was going to happen, but they arranged that it happened. By walking in a spirit of faith. Am I preaching all right this morning? That's what it means when we talk about having encounters with God. For example, like I just said, that angel that appeared, well, and came and ministered to Leanne. Just because you are a person of faith doesn't mean you know how. Amen. That's where the mystery lies. That's where the surprise lies. Amen. But see, what this means is that we that have a spirit of faith, we follow the leadings of the Spirit. That's another part of this message, is following the Holy Ghost into your miracle. A spirit of faith just doesn't sit and not yield to the Holy Ghost. Spirit of faith says, I'm believing God. God says, do this. We go, okay, I'm doing that. And as we do that, we encounter the power of God and the supernatural comes into manifestation and we become victorious because we move with the Spirit. Can you say amen? So those that have the spirit of faith, they trust the leadings of the Spirit to get them into their miracle. Are you understanding the spirit of faith better? But all through the Bible, we see people who had a spirit of faith. Daniel said that God would deliver him from the lion's den. Notice Daniel didn't tell the king how. That's not his department. In fact, he didn't know how. The how was a complete surprise. An angel shows up and gives every one of those lions lockjaw. And they try to roar all night, and I go, Rrr. They can't get their mouth open. That's a surprise how that happened. But the fact that it happened, Daniel announced ahead of time that it would happen. That's a spirit of faith. Have you been announcing God? Have you been going, God's coming on the scene? When you believe and speak, you're blowing a trumpet and say, welcome God. An encounter is on the move right now. Daniel did it. The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, and Dr. Roberts was talking about that this week. They said, "Oh, King, we're not afraid. We're not afraid. You can throw us in. If we don't bow down, if you don't throw us in, we're not going to stop serving our God. But if you do throw us in, we're not going to stop serving our God. And our God will deliver us." Our God, they didn't say, "We'll wait and see if," and then write it in the newsletter afterwards. They announced it ahead of time. That's a spirit of faith. And guess what that did? It brought them into an encounter with the power of God. God himself came on the scene. Praise God. Somebody said, "I want to meet God." Well, he'll meet you in the fire. The children of it, the three Hebrew children, they had an encounter with God. They didn't know how God was going to do that. The way he did it was a surprise. Jesus showing up himself before the incarnation in the fire. Whoa. Boy, that's an exciting way to live, to live by the spirit of faith. You get to have a lifestyle of encounters with God. And how it shows up is always an element of an adventure and even a surprise sometimes. But the fact that it happens, whenever it happens, we go, "I knew that's coming somehow." Yeah. Am I making any sense? We're laying the right foundation so we think about this right from the beginning of what the spirit of faith really is. Brother Hagin said that when the gift of faith is in manifestation, he said, you know ahead of time what God's going to do. Now, and how he's going to move when the gift of faith. But the implication is when we all walk by the common faith that is every believer's responsibility to walk in, we don't know the house. That's only when the gift of faith is in manifestation that you know the house. I've had the gift of faith in manifestation a number of times. Now, that's one of the nine manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, which happens sovereignly as he wills. And it's a supernatural element of faith on top of your faith that you have. You tap into something way beyond your faith when the gift of faith comes into manifestation. Sometimes whenever I've prophesied about things to come in our nation, the gift of faith was in manifestation. I knew exactly what was going to happen. I knew how it was going to happen. And in some cases, when it was going to happen. That's the gift of faith. But when you're walking by common faith, the Bible faith, which just comes by hearing the word, we know it's going to happen. We don't always know the how and the when and the why and who God's going to use. But we just know it's happening. It's in the works right now. Am I making any sense? And so it's a wonderful way to live. Hallelujah. Now, to have God move in our lives by walking by the Spirit of faith means we stay ready for him to move all the move any way he wants to move. And that means it's always an adventure. It's always a following the Spirit into how he's doing what he's doing. Amen. Hallelujah. When the apostles were in prison in the book of Acts, and God sent an angel twice, actually, if you read it, an angel twice. Once when all 12 of them were in, once when Peter was in. And delivered them. They were believing God, but they didn't know the house. But an angel showed up. That's called an encounter. Tell your neighbor, "I'm up for some encounters." When Paul was on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with Jesus in the glory. Amen. And what happened in that encounter? In that encounter, his life turned and went a completely different direction. I could stand here and tell you, I think if I remember right, counting them, seven different times in the last number of years we've been here pastoring. We've not been here the whole 20 years, but seven different times that I can tell you of right now where God caught somebody up in one of our services. Most of the time it was in one of our services. Sometimes they laid here on the floor way after the service was dismissed, out under the power of God, oblivious to where they were in the flesh because they were caught up to heaven. I could tell you of seven different cases that I'm thinking of right now. And every one of them, God showed them his plan for their lives. I could tell you about them. Amen. And it redirected the course of their life. That's an encounter. We believe God to move in any way he wants to at Spirit of Faith Family Church. Amen. That's what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus, wasn't it? Hallelujah. And so we all, when we got born again, encountered the presence and power of God. But God wants us to have a lifestyle of these things. make it something that goes on and happens over and over again, not just one time, in other words. Ongoingly, as we increase and grow in faith, a lifestyle of the supernatural and a move of the Spirit begins to occur. When we start living supernaturally, not just naturally. And we become a marvel. Can you say amen? Amen. I had an encounter whenever I was a boy in a dream. God showed me His plan for my life. My wife had an encounter with God, and God showed her His plan for her life. Those encounters have got to be a part of this last day. Us, otherwise, people will go on in the natural. Even church people, even saved people will go on and carry out their lives in the natural, following their natural minds and their own plans rather than the supernatural plan of God. Smith Wigglesworth said that when you come into an encounter with the power of God, it'll take you out of your plans and out of your natural realm into God's plans in the supernatural realm. I didn't plan to go into the ministry. I wanted to be a computer programmer and a landscaper and different things at different times, but God got a hold of me and I had an encounter with God when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So, a real encounter with God will change the arc or the course of a man's life. I'm not in my plans today because I came into contact with the power of God. Amen. There's a lot of different kinds of encounters. When you come into a divine connection in the body of Christ and connected with a God-filled person, you have had an encounter with God. When God brought me into connection with Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy, when He took me to Rhema Bible Training Center, whenever He brought us into connection with Brother Richard Roberts, all these divine encounters, these are not just people, they're God-filled people.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And we need to see these encounters the way God sees them. Because they'll change the arc and the course of our lives if we'll listen to them. And if we'll follow the plan of God. How many of you remember the story I told you, I probably told a number of times, where we were driving, we were preaching all week in healing school and then driving to our meetings on the weekends back years ago. And remember the time I told you about her and I were switching back and forth. We had to get there for the service and we had to drive straight through all night. And we were switching back and forth. She'd drive a while, I'd drive a while. And then I was falling asleep when I was, and I kept waking up to hearing the rumble strip on the side of the road. Remember that?
Yeah.
And remember the time I told you that an angel touched me?
Yes, sir.
Remember that? Twice.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I thought it was her. Remember, I woke her up. I mean, she woke up in the morning, actually. I tried to wake her up. She's fast asleep. That was an encounter with God. Because we took hands and agreed for safety on that trip. And through our faith, we came into an encounter, supernatural encounter. Oh, I want a life full of encounters, don't you? I remember the time I told you I had no money to get to the trip we were going on, and after healing school, a man came up real properly dressed, blonde, long blonde hair, had a perfectly pressed suit on, and handed me $120, really is what it was, $20 bills, six $20 bills, and said, the Lord told me to give this to you, or whatever he said, I don't remember exactly what he said, and I said, thank you, and I turned around and said hi to somebody, and turned around again within a couple of seconds, and he's gone, remember that? That's an encounter with God.
Amen.
You've had encounters like that, maybe sometimes unawares. Hallelujah. How many of you remember Peter? He had a net-breaking catch of fish. That's an encounter that brought supply into his life. Isn't that right? Blonde Bartimaeus had an encounter through his faith. The woman with the issue of blood had an encounter through her faith. On the day of Pentecost, they had an encounter with God's power in the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Many of you have had deliverance from accidents. Stories of pipes coming your way and God pushing them out of the way. Stories of vehicles coming down your lane and somehow you got between the ones that were coming and the ones on the other side. Things that have happened. Those are encounters. Why? Because we sit and twiddle our thumbs and pray God sovereignly do something? No, we speak protection over our lives. We have a spirit of faith about us. Hallelujah. We're the untouchable ones. Cannot be touched because we have the shield of faith all around our lives. And when the enemy comes against us, he's going to have an encounter of his own kind. He's going to have an encounter with the power too. But that encounter is going to knock him back and defeat him.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about encounters. The 9 different people that we have record of, I think there's more, but the 9 different people that we have record of healed of cancer in this church, they had an encounter with the power of God. Hallelujah. How many of you know we've been transformed in our thinking by sitting under the Word? Many of us think different. We act different. We respond to circumstances different. Something got in our mind that renews our mind. How many of you know every man needs to have an encounter with the Word of God that transforms his thinking? Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's part of these encounters we're talking about. Can you see what we're talking about now? We have families here that weren't able to have children that are now having children. That's an encounter with the power of God. When Jesus showed up, stood right there and said, I want to change some things in your nation. Respond and decree at my command what I say. And I've repeated what I heard him saying.
Yeah.
That's an encounter.
Yes, it is.
See, we just stop to think about it. Sometimes people say, well, no, you know, not much happening around. Well, think about all these things I just mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a constant, continuous.
Yes,
it's different ways in different services, different things in different people's lives. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We've had multitudes of people. Some of you sitting right here right now came into this congregation, into this church on multiple medications for psychological and emotional things sometimes physical. And often and people are now off all their medications. That's an encounter with the power of God. Amen. Let's switch to the term spirit of faith. Amen. When we say we're bringing people in encounters with God, empowering them to be victorious always through the spirit of faith, we're talking about 2 Corinthians 4:13, when Paul said, we have a spirit of faith, we believe and we speak. Isn't that right? God has brought the revelation of the message of faith through generals in the body of Christ that have gone before us. Amen. What I see happening today is many people going a different direction in the body of Christ. Many have lost ground in the Spirit. They're no longer contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I mean the faith that moves into this move of the Spirit. Amen. The Lord said to me, he said one time, I want you to lead out in the spirit of faith. After Dr. Dufresne went to heaven, I want you to lead out in this message of the spirit of faith. Lead out in demonstrating it. Lead out in not just a faith in the Word, but a faith that moves with the Holy Ghost whenever he wants to move. Are you still out there? Hallelujah. I want you to emphasize this message in the body of Christ. The spirit of faith is not just because the Bible talks about the word of faith, doesn't it? The Bible talks about the laws of faith. The spirit of faith is not just the message. It is the fire of God that moves in faith. It's the fire to our faith. Amen. You going to still hear what we got to say for a minute? It's a faith on fire with a revelation on the inside. The Word of God comes alive in the inward man, and it comes so alive that it sets you on fire, and you defy what the enemy says has to be.
Amen.
You have to die. The disease is progressing. You have to live with this. There's no cure, so forth and so on. You have to be broke, busted, and disgusted, depressed, discouraged, and in debt. And you get a living revelation on the inside of you that comes alive, and that sets fire to your faith. And you defy anything that's been in your life, your family's life, for generations.
Yes,
amen.
And you say, it's not going to be that way in my life because the Word of God has gotten on the inside of me. I so love what Pastor Debbie shared on the video we were sharing about this. She said, it won't happen overnight, but you got to sit under this message until it comes alive on the inside. And it will come alive. So it's a faith that's on fire with a revelation. It gets bold. It gets real confident. Confident enough to step out on the Word of God in defiance of what the devil says has to be. or anybody speaking for the devil. Amen. It's a faith with an attitude. Now, faith is not just a positive mental attitude. The Bible says faith is of the heart. With the heart we believe. However, we know that faith that stays in the heart and doesn't come out through actions will not do us any good. It'll do no more than unbelief as far as bringing things to pass in our life that we want to see happen in our lives. Amen? But this faith, this spirit of faith is like smoke. It lights fire on the inside, but it gets into every area of your life. The smoke of that fire gets into every area of your life. It gets into your thinking. It gets into the look on your face. It gets into your actions and your attitude. It gets into the way you shout when the devil says, it's over. Something gets on the inside of you. It's called faith that's on fire. Amen. That's how these encounters we're talking about come into all these people's lives. Hallelujah. God will do it for you. He's not a respecter of persons, is he? But he is a respecter of faith. And faith arranges these encounters. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whosoever will have whatsoever he saith. So that's not God saying this will work for one person and not another. This is for anybody who will accept the message and move with God in this mandate. The spirit of faith comes by sitting under the word long enough until an attitude of victory rises up on the inside of you and you no longer accept the status quo. It might have been that way your whole life. There's some things right now that I refuse to stay in where I'm at. Anybody with me in an area of your life? And this spirit of faith will bring the impossible to pass. It will accomplish what people say cannot change. It will bring transformation into your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where's the need in your life? A spirit of faith will defeat it. Because it'll tap into the power of God. Isn't that right? We're here to tell you that you can tap into your miracle, the miracle you need, by walking in a spirit of faith yourself. God is not a respecter of persons. He has a lifetime of encounters waiting on your faith. Praise the Lord. And he wants you to live supernaturally. You remember Oral Roberts made the statement. He said, there are miracles either coming your way or passing your either coming your way or passing you by every single day. There are miracles coming your way or passing you by every single day. What we're talking about is how to grab onto those miracles. How to lay hold of them. How to experience them. Hallelujah. Catching those miracles. And having encounters just on a regular basis. That's the purpose of this ministry. That's why we're here. Hallelujah. We're called to raise up an army of believers in this last day that are equipped with the spirit of faith to live victoriously. Amen. Go out and do exploits. When you and I are always triumphant, something happens. Our life starts being transformed. And what happens is we become a witness. People start seeing something's different about you. Your family, I can imagine most everyone here, your family has, probably, some of them don't want to talk about it yet. But your family has been watching you and they've seen something is different. Something, your house just doesn't have all the sickness that our houses do. You're just succeeding financially. There's just a difference. Your children aren't at the doctor all the time. Your children are well behaved and they're not getting in trouble all the time. What is different about what that is you being a witness. I said that's you being a witness. Hallelujah. And when you become a witness through walking in victory, through having a spirit of faith, what happens is that you start doing exploits because people start asking you for prayer. They start asking you for answers. And you can start telling them, this is how my life changed. This word, the word of God, the message of faith, taught me how to overcome the torment that's been in my mind. I'm talking about the past, the torment that was in my mind. And these things have all changed through the message that I've been hearing. Hallelujah. When we're always triumphant through the spirit of faith and these exploits begin to happen, people want to know your secret. And it's something we want to share. Hallelujah. You remember in Numbers 14:24, God said about Caleb, "My servant Caleb is going to go in and possess the land because he has another spirit with him." That was the spirit of faith. The world out there is living in a spirit of unbelief, pessimism, amen, you know, fear, anxiety, no expectation of constant victory. Whatever goes around, comes around, and they get. Amen. They're under the dominion of the prince of the power of this air. We are not.
Right. Yes, sir.
And when we walk in our victory through walking in faith, we become an example and a testimony. Amen. These hardships come against us just like it comes against others, just like it comes against those in the world. Faith doesn't mean we won't have tests or trials. Isn't that right? It just means we have the answer and we can overcome it. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We always, always, take that word on for size. Put it in your mouth. Say always. Triumph in Christ. Doesn't mean Satan doesn't oppose us. Doesn't mean there's not a good fight to fight. Doesn't mean we don't have to stand our ground. Doesn't mean that the tests and trials don't come. The afflictions try to come to us just like everybody else. The enemy is opposing us. But because we have a spirit of faith like Joshua and Caleb, we're going in to possess the land. We have a different response than those in the world. Hallelujah. We always overcome. Paul is quoting David. We referred to it in the video when he said, we have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. Where it's written is Psalm 116:10. David there said, we believe and we speak. Paul said, we have that same spirit of faith. And David not only turned people into mighty men through a spirit of faith, he also made them, they went out and they did exploits. And the plan of God was done for that generation. Hallelujah. That's what we're assigned to do. Hallelujah. We're assigned to begin to teach you how to, and notice in the statement, empowering them to always be victorious. That's done through the teaching of the word. The word getting in you empowers you. Somebody said, I've never been able to be victorious all the time. Here's how to be empowered. It's not by might. It's not by you or my power. It's by the anointing on the living word of God that starts living on the inside of you and stands up on the inside of you. And you start saying, no, not here, devil. Not here, not now. Amen. So that's what we're here for, to raise up an army of people empowered through the living word of God inside of them to become a mighty force in this last day, treading down the forces of darkness all across this planet. God sends people to Nigeria like we've planted a church. They're going over there to tread down the darkness and preach there is a way to live in victory and contact the power of God. Praise God. And we're going to take this message wherever God sends us. And we're going to preach it if it hair lips the devil. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus asked the question, like we said in the video, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? We're here to see to it that he does. Amen. We're here to see that his people are walking in victory, tapping into the power of God and doing exploits through their faith. Hallelujah. This is a big part of ushering in the return of Jesus. I said it's a big part of ushering in the return of Jesus. Jesus is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. But he told us in James what brings it back. It's the precious fruit of the earth comes in through the latter rain. The latter rain is the result of the Spirit of God moving amongst those who believe. And who arrange for God to move through their faith. Am I making any sense? Let's talk a little bit about always victorious. Are you still out there? We're here to say when Jesus returns, there's going to be a whole army of people doing exploits. God's plan, it's not enough in the heart and mind of God and in His plan that we be victorious. It's only enough that we start taking that to other people. And demonstrating the power of God, like Brother Richard Roberts is talking about, laying our hands on the sick and using our faith to get them healed because they don't know how to use their faith. Now, eventually, God will expect more out of them once they start learning. But let's just see beyond ourselves and think of it this way. God wants us to learn how to live in victory and then start using that faith to do exploits in the lives of others. That causes God to show up and show out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's time our neighbors start getting healed of cancer.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Yep.
That's it.
Are we going to have a Bless Me Club or are we going to take Cedar Rapids? Let's take it to the cities. Let's take it to the highways, the byways. Let's take it to our neighbors. Let's take it to our, come on, you students in school. Let's take it to school.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Amen. But if you and I don't know how to live victorious in our own life, we'll never get there. Let's take it all the way. What do you say? Amen. What God wants us to do is live in such a way that victory is not a one-off fluke that happens every now and then. And we go, huh, well, how did that happen? Walking by faith means we know how to make victory happen on purpose over and over and over again in every area of our life.
Amen.
Amen. Victory is not supposed to be a fluke. Amen. It's becoming empowered to experience this over and over again on purpose. Listen to some of these verses. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now this is in the Crescent translation. Christ leads us to victory every time. Say every time. New Life translation of 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, He leads us and makes us win in everything. We've had our sights set too low. God's plan is victory every time, in everything. Every area. In my mind, in my body, in my marriage, in my home, in my finances, in my freedom from condemnation. Freedom from past failures. Victory over condemnation. Victory over defeat. Victory over bondages of addictions to the flesh. Victory everywhere, all the time. Moffat's translation says, wherever I go, thank God He makes my life a constant pageant of triumph in Christ. Constant. Constant means victory after victory after victory. Let's not set our sights too low. What do you say? The Laubach translation of 2 Corinthians 2:14, thank God who is giving us victory after victory. 20th century New Testament, who through our union with Christ leads us in one continual triumph. The world says you win some, you lose some. You can keep that. I'll take victory all the time in every area.
Amen.
I don't believe God wants us to win some, lose some. Am I making any sense? What we're talking about is raising up an army skilled in walking with God by faith to where we become people who do this on purpose, know how to make it work. The Lord said, Brother Hagin prophesied at one of Rhema's graduations, and he started saying, tramp, tramp, tramp. And he was hearing an army coming in the spirit realm, an army of people raised up to take the message of God's word all over the nation. And he said that God said to him, I'm called to raise up skilled end time laborers to reap this end time harvest. We're just continuing what God spoke to him to do. But here's the emphasis. Notice that word skilled. Skilled. I don't know about you, but like on your job, for example, if you're skilled, you get promoted. You can go further. You become a greater demand for higher wages, and other people want to hire you out from this company, so they raise your wages, and you know, you become more valuable and so forth and so on.
Yes, sir.
Say skilled.
Skilled.
God God wants us to be an army who's skilled in the things of the Spirit, skilled in faith, and skilled in always being triumphant. Hallelujah. Now, that's just 2 Corinthians 2:14. Look at 1 John 5:4. Now, we already quoted it, but listen in these translations. Woost says, he is that man who walks by faith is constantly coming off victoriously over the world. Constantly. Romans 8:37, Williams, it says, and yet in all these things, we keep on gloriously conquering through him that loved us. It just keeps happening. It just keeps happening. I'm looking for some more fire in some of your faces. It keeps on. We keep on gloriously conquering through him that loved us. Jordan of Romans 8:37. We come out on top every time through him who set his heart on us. My body was attacked. We come out on top. My finances were attacked. I come out on top. My marriage was attacked. I come out on top. Because I start exercising my faith. I start moving in faith in all these areas. And that's just, listen to some of these other translations. That one says every time. Wu says, but in all things. Say all things. All of them. Say all of them. That's what he said. Wu's translation says, but in all things, all of them. We are coming off constantly with more than the victory through the one who loved us. I keep coming off with the victory. Amen. This is the message. It's the message of the Spirit of faith getting into your heart that empowers you to live this way. Always coming off with victory after victory. That's where the power is. The power is in the Word. Amen. Not we win some, we lose some. The spirit of faith is addicted to living by victory. Let me say it again. It's addicted. The spirit of faith is addicted to living by victory. The spirit of faith is addicted to living in victory. It's addicted to it. I got to have it. You come against me, I'm going to win. I'm addicted to it. Shoot me up, Jesus. I want another victory. You know? It's addicted. When you know it's possible, you don't just kind of roll over anymore and say, Uncle. Amen. You don't tolerate things anymore. Hallelujah. To the spirit of faith, victory is not just a privilege. It is a duty. I've got a message to preach all over my neighborhood or all my contacts. I have a duty. God's honor is on the line here. I'm an example. I'm a living epistle known and read of all men. It's not just my, privilege to have victory. It is my duty. Because God wants me to demonstrate to everybody I come in contact with. He wants to show up and show out through my life. And provoke them to jealousy with the way I'm living. Hallelujah. I want to ask you to do something. Because now comes your part. Because it's not just Pastor Debbie and I assigned to take this message and this movement wherever we can go, wherever God sends us. I want to ask you to pray and see how God wants you to connect to this vision. What you can do to encounter God. What do you need to do to have more encounters with God? Well, we've been sharing it. Develop, get the Word of God planted in you to the point to where a spirit of faith rises up on the inside of you and brings you into contact with the power of God. Amen. And makes you always victorious. Second of all, what that'll do is make you a witness and a testimony. Are you ready to do what Richard Roberts said and lay your hands on the sick? A spirit of faith doesn't draw back and say, what if it doesn't work? A spirit of faith says, is it all right if I pray for you? Minister to you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we encourage you to connect with this purpose. Feed on the Word of God that gives you a spirit of faith, and then walk in a spirit of faith that gives you these encounters that make you a witness. Can you see how we put it all together? This enables you and I to walk out this vision with us and spread this message and this movement with us to this generation. And this is part of what will help usher in the return of the Lord. I said, this will help usher in the return of the Lord. Hallelujah. I invite you into a lifestyle of the supernatural. And just winning victories. Amen? Hallelujah. Can you get a hold of what we're talking about? From now on, we're going to be, in fact, if I look back over my life, most, if you just kind of boil it all down, where, what we preach and what we talk about, it's all encapsulated in what we shared this morning. Amen. The church world heard the message of faith in the previous generation, but they've drawn back in this generation from that message. But that message was not designed just to get us to have faith in the Word, although that's always, the Word's always primary when it comes to faith. But it was designed to get us over into the supernatural move of God. Smith Wigglesworth said, "I bombard heaven with all the faith I have." And then he said, "And heaven lays a hold of me with its own faith. And then I step out of the natural and into the supernatural." And he said, "I'm able to move in the spirit, and heaven comes on the scene."
Amen. Amen.
Saying the same thing.
Come on.
Saying the same thing. I mean, I'm looking for a generation that becomes a bulldog. That says this move of the spirit is going to all come to pass, and it's going to come to pass on our watch. God's looking for a people that will say yes to the move of God and the supernatural. And it takes faith. It takes a people of faith. On the first video we watched, the one that we called there, the Look What the Lord Has Done, there was, I don't know if you noticed it, but there was the announcer, Brother Tim, he quoted a prophecy that was prophesied in 1980 by a man named Steve Russell. And he prophesied, whether he knew it or not, he was prophesying about Spirit of Faith Family Church. And so we went through that. Look What the Lord Has Done? Is that going on YouTube or anything? Where's that going to be put up? It'll be on YouTube and Facebook. Go back and listen to that again. He was talking about this church. Hallelujah. One of the things it talked about was unity. Let's unite around the message. Let's unite. Not just say, "Pastor's assignment is to take this message." No, our assignment. Our assignment. Hallelujah. Can you get on board with that? It's a mandate. As we carry out our ministry, Pastor Debbie and I carry out our ministry here at the church and J. Eberly Ministries, there are certain values that we are committing ourselves to live by. And I want to put these up before we close this morning. On the screen, they're putting these up. And number one is to raise the standard of excellence. You've seen this congregation's excellence in serving, excellence in teaching and preaching the Word, excellence in the facilities, excellence in the way we put out media. I told the team, I said, "I'm not putting out TV programs until we have an excellent program." You've seen the standard. Amen. For to us, the attitude of good enough for gospel is make me want to puke kind of thing. Amen. Anything worth doing is worth doing excellently. I'm asking you to commit to that as well. When you and I are exercising what we're doing, let's do it with not just, let's just not fulfill our assignment, but let's do it with excellence. Amen. When you're asked to bring up the standard in your department, in the helps ministry, then let's swallow hard and say, "Yep, we're coming up." Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And I'm going to move on because of the time here. But the second thing we're committing ourselves to as we carry out our ministry is living a life of faithfulness. Faithfulness does not just mean doing our best, giving it our all. Faithfulness means being accurate to the original assignment. You ever heard the term? Somebody might say, here is a copy of the Constitution of the United States, and this is a faithful copy, or something like that. What they're saying is, every word is exactly like the original Constitution. Every comma is in the exact place. Every letter that's capitalized in the original, it's capitalized on this one. It's accurate. That's what that term means, faithful. I'm not just here to just kind of do my best. I'm here to do it just like God says do it. Let's do that. Are you going to live that way yourselves as well as us? Third of all, we're committing ourselves to walking in spiritual maturity. Oh, that means so much to me. A lot of people have come to Spirit of Faith Family Church and said, seems like the anointing on Spirit of Faith Family Church is to grow you up. No babyhood stuff. Not coming against that, because we have babies come in. How many of you know we all came in babies probably? But yet right on the other hand, it's not okay to us that we stay there. Because there's advantages to growing up. Amen. Oh, you get more entrusted to you. And so that's another one. We're not taking a lot of time with all these. We'll spend some more time later. Another one we're committing ourselves to is displaying steadfast integrity. That's the heartbeat of Pastor Debbie and I. Dr. Dufresne picked it up in the spirit. He ministered to us over in Davenport in a meeting one time, and he said, Mr. Honest, Mr. Integrity. People are going to come from all over the world to see how you do things. That is huge to us. It's not okay that we be sloppy with the finances of the church. It's not okay that we're sloppy in our relationships with the opposite sex. Amen. There's not a woman in this church or a man in this church that can say, Pastor Debbie and I have ever compromised our morals. You won't find one. In fact, there's been people that the Lord showed me that we needed to stay away from. Individual, one time we started having come into our house to help us with some things. The Spirit of God spoke to me and said, stop it, because they have eyes for you. I told her and I said, we got to change it. Amen. Excellence. Maturity. Integrity. We're committed to it. Let's be committed to it together. And maybe not the most important one, although it's important, but one of my favorite ones. Running my race and our race with joy. I refuse to be heavy. I refuse to look at the generation around us and say, well, they're all going to hell in a handbasket. No, I'm going to stay joyful. I'm going to stay loving. I'm going to stay positive. I'm not going to get pessimistic or get disgruntled or, you know, turn negative on life or our generation or this time or our nation or what's happening in politics or nothing. I'm going to stay full of joy. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. So, anybody with us on what we're sharing with you this morning? Yes, praise God. These are the things that we wanted to just kind of roll out this morning and also just spend some time talking about, because it's important that we're all on one page. Book of Habakkuk says, like we've started with, write the vision, make it plain. We're going to be talking much more about the spirit of faith. We may as well not just have it on our sign. Let's go ahead and have it in our heart, have it in our mouth, have it in our life, and see the power of God and take it to this generation.